Okay, let's open the House Rural Committee on Rural Communities. Today is February 18th, and let me open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1563A and ask Senate Majority Leader Rosenbaum to come and visit with us. Committee members, you will remember some of this will sound kind of familiar because we had a pretty similar version, though it had some funding in it, and we sent it off to Ways and Means where I'm not so sure that's going to really happen. So we've got a more likely to succeed vehicle for a similar idea to something we heard about a while ago.
Great. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, or I understand now the protocol is Chair Clem,
oh.
Vice Chair McEwen, okay. And members of the committee. For the record, I don't know, somebody told me that's what they're being trained to say now.
All right.
So anyway, Mr. Chair and friends, I'm Diane Rosenbaum, State Senator from District 21, which is in Southeast and Northeast Portland and Milwaukee and Oak Grove. Very pleased today to be appearing in front of you on behalf of Senate Bill 1563, which, as you can see if you're looking at the bill, has a large list of chief sponsors and sponsors, and for good reason, because it's a great bill. So just briefly, because I know that the committee heard a very similar House version of this bill, what the bill would do is take our existing entrepreneurial loan fund, which is really our premier loan program for small businesses that want to expand and add employees, and raise the cap on the total amount of loans that a business can apply and qualify for, which is currently the cap is $70,000. This bill would raise that to $100,000, and amendments that were adopted in the Senate also increase the repayment period, which is currently set at 5 years, to a 10-year period to repay those loans. And what this will do is make an existing program more effective so that it can help more small businesses be able to add equipment, increase jobs, and in general be able to stimulate our economy and put people back to work. I don't know if you heard from some of these small business people that we heard from on the Senate side, but there are just numerous small businesses, some located here in the valley, but even more located in the rural parts of the state, who showed up and talked about how they had benefited from this or similar loan programs. Still, even now, access to capital is really the number one problem that we hear from small businesses. You know, what the testimony we heard was that they'll go to a bank and they'll be offered a personal line of credit, you know, to be able to increase the limit on their credit card, when what they really need is the money to be able to, you know, rent more space, buy more equipment, and put more people back to work. And some of those folks were people like a woman named Evan Remington, who has a business called Fresh and Local Foods right here in Salem, who was able to grow her business from 7 to 19 employees through a similar loan program. And the loans that we have already given out, and you'll probably hear shortly from Business Oregon, but over 50 loans have been provided since 2009. Nearly 60% of those loans go to small businesses outside of the metro area. So this is very definitely a program that benefits businesses all over the state. Some of those businesses are businesses like Bull Ridge Brew Pub in Baker City, Waddell Power Coating in Sutherland, Frog Eyes Wasabi in Portland, and businesses all over the state will be able to apply for these funds with the increased cap and the increased repayment period. We believe that it'll be a much more effective program, helping small businesses that exist get off the ground, expand, and do what we always talk about here, which is put Oregonians back to work. So, in closing, I would just say we always like to say that small business is the backbone of Oregon's economy, and indeed that is true. That is where the job growth is happening and needs to happen even more. By expanding the Entrepreneurial Loan Fund, we will be able to make our existing program go further. I'm aware that the committee did move a similar bill to Ways and Means, and we're seeking to put some additional funds into the fund, and that would be great if that were to happen. But this bill, which passed unanimously in the Senate with one member excused, I think it's a bill that you can feel good about moving to the floor, and hopefully you will give it your aye vote and do so expeditiously. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Any questions for Senator Rosenbaum? Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. When was it? Okay, there was an amendment apparently to extend it to 10 years. And what was the impetus for that? What was there a big, you know, cry for that in the business community?
I didn't serve on the committee. I'm sorry,
Chair,
Representative Thatcher. I didn't serve on the committee that heard all the testimony, so I'm not sure exactly where that change came from. I believe there are representatives from Business Oregon in the audience who could probably answer that. I'm assuming with a higher amount, perhaps the longer repayment period made sense and more businesses could make use of it. But I think they could probably answer that better than I can.
And we did adopt this amendment there, and that was the reason that we got, and at the time was the higher amount, a little longer repayment maybe would be in order. Other questions? Well, I just wanted to thank you for being open to the addition. The other difference at the time was in the list of activities that may be included, we recommended in our version as well the assistance and support for developing targeted industry and entrepreneurship in rural communities, and that's already in this version. The real difference at this point is ours is dead and theirs is great and moving, because we put money in that was probably a little hopeful. So I would recommend this version to you all as well. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. We've got two members of the public to testify, Peggy Woolsey and Joel Fisher. Peggy, I've got you first.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Peggy Woolsey with Tax Fairness Oregon. We are supportive of this bill with concerns. We noticed that the increase of money is approximately 40%, but the increase of period of time is by 100%, and we're concerned about the period of time that the public is at risk for the dollars that are being loaned. And that's all I have.
Okay. Joel?
Chair Clinton, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joel Fisher with Oregon Business Association. Senator Rosenbaum kind of said everything I wanted to say, so I'll just keep it really simple. Mostly, we would like to put an emphasis on the impact that this bill has, that this program has, and that the bill can have in rural Oregon. Of particular importance to the Oregon Business Association in the future is going to be growing Oregon's rural economy, which has not been keeping pace with the economic growth that we've seen in the urban centers. And so we think it's a great bill, and we urge your support.
Any questions for this panel? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, do we have a little script for...
So, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Were we going to hear from Business Oregon as to the question about that Representative Thatcher, about the extension of the loan repayment schedule being... larger than the increase percentage-wise of the amount of loan that's...
Let's do it.
Chair Kalem, members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Saris. I'm the business services manager at Business Oregon. And specifically to the question about the increase in the term associated with the repayment, how the department approaches this is very consistent with other business lending activities. It's the useful life of the assets that are securing the loan that would be financed up to a term not to exceed 10 years. And so if it's a 7-year asset, it would have a 7-year term and amortization associated with it. This is because many of the assets that are financed in excess of $50,000 typically do have a longer useful life as a business asset and therefore should typically be financed for a longer term. There aren't a lot of assets that have a 10-year amortization, but we still wanted to be mindful that small businesses could be acquiring those pieces of equipment for their business need.
And I have a question about other terms such as interest rate, and how is it determined?
Chair Clem, Representative Thatcher, members of the committee. Right now, the EDLF program has a fixed rate. It is prime plus two. The loans are secured by collateral, good and sufficient collateral, so typically a one-to-one collateral ratio on most of the loans we do. That gives us about a 5.25% interest rate in today's interest rate environment.
Follow-up?
Yeah, I guess I'm also wondering what weighs into approval of a loan? In other words, does somebody's FICO score weigh in? Does their debt-to-income ratio play a role? I mean, what determines if I want to come to you for a loan, what are you looking for?
Chair Clem, Representative Thatcher. When we take a look at an EDLF loan or any other loan, the first thing we're looking at is ability to repay. So that's either based on historical financial performance, and we'll actually do an analysis on the viability of the business underwriting the transaction. And then, two, it's also on what are called pro formas or projection-based income that could be generated. A lot of the businesses that we work with are using projection-based finances to get the loan. And as part of that, we require that they work with a small business development center and go through a small business management course in order to be eligible for the fund, specifically the Entrepreneurial Development Fund. We want to ensure that the business has as many resources available to them, including a business plan that's been reviewed by one of our SBDC professionals to ensure that they understand what the risks of going into business are.
Follow up.
Okay, so you're looking at them kind of like a bank might then, but the argument is that a bank doesn't make this small of a loan. Okay. So there have been around 50 loans up roughly, so about 10 a year, and it seems like the default rate was around 10%, so about maybe 1 in 10 of those loans, or maybe a little over 1 in 10 of those loans will go into default. How much money is in the fund? The reason I'm asking is if there's a longer repayment period, that means those funds wouldn't be available to turn around as quickly to lend other small businesses.
Chair, Representative. So currently we have about $1.6 million in cash available to lend. Most of our average loans right now is somewhere in the neighborhood of $35,000 or $40,000. While we would be able to increase the maximum loan size, we don't see the needle moving significantly. This is probably going to impact maybe 10% of the loans that we do looking at a larger loan size. So we have sufficient cash. And then, two, the principal and interest will be repaid back into the fund over time. So all these loans that we have outstanding are making payments back, and that money is then relent out to new projects as they come about. We believe that we have sufficient resources at least to meet demand for the next 18 to 24 months. And obviously we can identify resources if we need to at that time, but we don't think that that's going to be the case.
I'm not trying to hog all the questions here.
Yeah,
I realize he wants to ask some too, but
follow up. We got time. Sure.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm just wondering, with other economic development measures that are done, other things that we've say, hey, yeah, look at us legislators, we're doing great things for the economy by doing this and that, and we have a whole bunch of them out there, but some of them are put on the transparency website. In other words, there's a jobs promise, for instance. Is anything linked to that?
Chair, Representative.
To this loan?
The disbursements themselves that are made to the companies, I believe, are reported on the transparency website with DAS. I'm going to have to confirm that. But as far as the metrics associated with it, there are not provisions for clawbacks if they don't meet job creation or something like that. These are loans And if they didn't meet them, what are we going to do, show up at their door and ask for a check for $35,000 today? It's not very likely that that's going to occur with these microloans.
Well, I guess, Mr. Chair, what I was wondering is, is there a measurement, I guess, how would I put this? It's costing the state X amount of dollars to do this loan, and by the end, hopefully, it'll be all be paid back with interest, and I appreciate that. But we're also still at risk as a state, taxpayer dollars, right? So what is the, I guess, the cost per job, if there's any measurement like that?
Chair, Representative, one of the issues with this is that these companies are typically so small that on average they have between one and three employees. Those companies aren't required to actually register with the Employment Department. Validation of job creation is difficult at best. And so, you know, as far as metrics that we have that track with this program, it really is going to be business that has started, successful repayment of the loans. Mm-hmm. When we can validate the employment data with our other program resources, we do. But it's really about creating opportunities for small businesses to start specifically in rural markets. It's where capital is less available.
And I think I have one more question.
Follow up.
And so of all the people who do apply, how many are successful in getting loans? Do you have any idea?
Chair, members of the committee, I would say that the approval rate is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about 80%. And that may sound like a very high number, but remember, too, that most of these businesses have gone through an extensive training period with the SBDC to review their plans and vet their project before it even comes to us. So a lot of times we're working with the counselors while they're developing the project and the business plan to determine whether or not this is a viable project before we even see it.
Representative Holby?
Thank you. Just one question. I just want to clarify that these loans are for activities in traded sector industries, and are these loans available outside of traded sector companies?
Chair Clem, Representative Oldley, members of the committee. This program is eligible for traded sector. It also supports the retail and service industries that are very important in rural communities. There are very few prohibitions on an eligible activity. Passive real estate, loans for personal use instead of business use, those are the types of exclusions. There are very few industries that are excluded specifically from this microloan program.
And I think, for example, Senator Rosenbaum mentioned Evan Remington and Fresh and Local Foods, which is kind of an agriculture processor, a really neat company. They buy from local farmers and then turn it into school lunches. And a lot of the whole farm-to-school concept assumes everything's going to be fresh and ready to go off the farm. That's not always the case. Sometimes it needs to be turned into something else, packaged, you know, that kind of thing. And so I know she was at the earlier testimonies, the kind of thing that would help her. So those kinds of agriculture-related businesses would be eligible as well, it sounds like.
Just to clarify, so this loan program is not solely for traded sector industries?
Chair, members of the committee, no, it's not.
Okay.
It does support a very broad group of industries.
Right, thank you.
I have one more question.
Yeah, Representative Thatcher.
You talked about the extensive SBDC training. So how does it work? I come in, I'm interested in this loan. You say, well, you need to sign up for this training. And then by the time it's funded, how long a period of time is that?
Chair, members of the committee, it's going to vary based on the business owner. Some people come in with a lot more experience and acumen when it comes to business financials and development of a business plan. I would say on average they're spending somewhere between 15 and 40 hours of one-on-one time with a counselor during this process. Really, it depends on how much assistance this business owner needs to try to develop a viable plan.
Okay, I think we're out of questions for the moment. And that's all I've got for this bill, so then let me close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1563A. And open a work session on Senate Bill.
Do you have paperwork?
Yeah, Senate Bill 1563A.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 1563A to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Cameron moves Senate Bill 1563A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Thatcher.
I just can't help myself. Yeah. I just, of course, these bills are hard to vote against because they're something. I mean, it's something we can throw out there and say, hey, look what we did. And but we've done that a lot of times over the years. And so we have so many different little programs out there that we really don't have a handle on what we have and or how effective they are. This sounds like a great thing, and I'm going to support it. But I just really hesitate when we just add one thing after another without really even looking at the results from the past things that we've put in place. And so I would also want to try to figure out some way to put these types of things on, more of them, onto the transparency website so we can actually kind of track what is a good thing to, what is a good use of taxpayer money. I really question using taxpayer money to being a bank. I really kind of question that. But, okay, it's helping some people. Let's do something. But when it comes to some of these other programs, I just really advocate us looking more closely at them.
And, for other members, just I my particular interest in this issue came from sort of a working assumption that this one must work pretty well and let's find a good working one. I didn't go through all the homework to do that. We had our hearing about rural economic revitalization, and we had asked Business Oregon for some initiatives, and I think rather than make another new one, they brought us one that works pretty well and said, if you want to help us on the loan limits and get us some rural language, this one's got kind of a track record.
Right.
Which was probably wise, to your point, instead of just making another new one and calling it the New Rural Fund and having us feel even better about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just make sure this has got a little more modernization since the cost of buying things goes up. But certainly something, I just was excited to get something onto the transparency website recently, so I think it's not impossible, and we might want to look at outcomes of some of these things. And because if they're good, then we'd brag about it through the transparency website as well.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Any further discussion? Would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Davis?
Aye. Excused.
Representative Colby?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Unger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron?
Aye.
Vice Chair McHugh?
Aye.
Chair Plum?
Aye. The motion passes, and I was going to just try and dedicate this to, what is
Charles?
Charles? Yeah. What's his middle name?
Thomas.
Charles Thomas Davis, who might be a rural or urban entrepreneur someday.
Representative Davis carry it?
Yeah, let's have him carry it.
There you go.
Well, he won't be back. So,
say back.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Vice Chair McEwen, would you like to carry it?
I'd be happy to.
Okay,
Thank
you. Thank you. with that, I can... anything else for the good of the order? All right, let's adjourn our committee.
Charles.
Order. All right, let's adjourn our committee.
Charles.